Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
And welcome back after a long break of Mediocrity Podcast. We've been on a few weeks break for the holiday season. We had a new year. We're in the new year. It's 2018. Last year was 2017 when we survived. And we had Christmas, we had Hanukkah, we had Kwanzaa, and we're back delivering you all the movie and TV, video game, comic book news and fun jokes. As always, we're back for 2018. We're going to be here all year, hopefully every minute of it, depending on if we have to eat or have sex or not with each other. Very excited. Ooh! Jonathan Atterbury's eyes got really wide there. He got so excited. How are you?
I'm great, man. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Yes, I'm Brian Kluger.
I would just love going along for this roller coaster ride of an intro.
Yeah.
I have no idea what you're going to say. It's always just a surprise.
It is fun. I love it. It's fun.
The best part is I don't think you know what you're going to say. I think it just happens.
You know, beforehand, I kind of like, okay, I might mention this, I might mention that. But yeah, it's kind of like improv almost.
Was mentioning having sex with each other part of the plan?
There, it wasn't. I was just seeing you two.
Make joke about having sex with Jeremy and John.
I don't know. There was just something just sexually excited about looking at you two right now.
That's because I'm wearing a sleeveless t-shirt.
Oh, well, maybe. But yes. I mean, well, fuck. What the fuck? Your shirtless or your sleeveless shirt has a chicken on it. Is that a cock on it?
You know what this is.
Oh, that's Hypnotic Donut shirt from Dallas. Fantastic. Did you cut the sleeves off yourself?
I did. They don't come like that. I don't think that's the target audience.
I guess not.
Hypnotic Donuts doesn't make tank tops? What the fuck?
Oh, my God. If you can see Atterbury right now, it's funny. He's again, Jeremy... Megert is here, and Jonathan Atterbury are here along with me, Brian Kluger. For this whole podcast that we've doing for the last year and a half or so, Jeremy and John have always had beards. A few weeks ago, Jonathan decided to shave his beard. He just has a mustache, but I grew a beard, and Jeremy still has his. So it's like it's just weird. We're not the three bearded people anymore. Actually, you haven't shaved in a little bit. You have a little bottom lip patch. Is that a soul patch?
A little soul patch going on here. I felt like the mustache needed something to round out the face.
What is the soul
patch? It was lonely.
Why is it called the soul patch? Do any of us know?
I have no idea.
Does it give you soul?
Maybe. Luckily, I have lots.
Does it enhance the already existing soul, thereby boosting it? Is it like a mana boost in video games?
It might be, but yeah, we are happy to be here. Jeremy, how are you doing, buddy? You've got some big plans for this week or next week, right?
Yeah, man. I close on the house tomorrow, and we move in this weekend.
Oh, my God. Are you excited to be moving to a new house with just... I'm so excited for you. Have you planned out? Is there going to be like a Star Wars room at all?
Just look at his face. That is the face of excitement. Right.
Actually, yes, there is going to be a Star Wars room. We're going to make the guest bedroom into a Star Wars room. Not my idea, but Josie's.
All right.
So that's going to be the guest bedroom / doing it room.
They're all doing it rooms.
That is so cool. So so I guess, yeah, all set in motion. And I guess are you gonna have like a human centipede party for like your new house?
Probably not.
I heard probably and then probably not, so I'm just going to go with the probably on that one. He's torn.
He's not quite sure yet.
He's in the middle. Did everyone have a good New Year?
Yeah, man. I had my favorite kind of New Year, which was sitting at home with the wife and watching TV and hanging out.
Oh, well played, sirs. What about Mr. Jeremiah, Bullfrog style? Did you have a good one?
Yeah, just hung out at home, played video games.
Sweet deal. We're going to get to some video games in a little bit, and we're also going to get to our best and worst movies, television, video games, comics of 2017. We might have some helpful... What happened?
Look at your phone. Jeremy just sent both of us something, and I don't appreciate it.
Wait, I totally missed it. Let me look. Oh, my goodness, folks. If I wish you could just see us right now, because... So, when I was just talking right now, giving the rundown, so we're all on a video chat right now, and you can hear us as audio-wise, but Atterbury just got pissed about something. He gave both of us the finger... He got pissed. So, Jeremy just had an excellent joke, and basically showed a picture of Jonathan in his mustache with a picture of, what's this actor's name?
Well, the character is Todd from Last Man on Earth, and John's mustache and Todd's mustache are somewhat similar. And a while back, when we were having our podcast, there was a day when John's connection froze, and that was the picture on the screen when I was photographing it.
What a terrible picture.
And it was a terrible picture, but it's hilarious. So I figured I would keep it forever, because that's what you do when you're friends. And when you were discussing facial hair, I was like, you know what? I need to share this with you guys. And so I decided that now was the time.
Oh, it's so funny. If you don't know who this character is, like, it is splitting double replicant image of Mr. Atterbury. look at Atterbury right now. He's just he's so impressed by how much it looks like him. He just can't believe it.
Impressed / makes me want to kill myself.
So does this mean you're going to shave the mustache now?
No. Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, you're going to go buy that shirt?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, God.
I'm so happy, Jeremy, that you've really put doubt in Jonathan's mind right now. He's going to be thinking about it. It's going to eat him inside. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. I'm going to save this. I'm just going to send this picture to y'all random intervals in time. Oh, that's so good. All right, good. That was awesome. Oh, that is such a good
now
picture.
Now the whole show has been derailed.
No, I like this. This is so funny. The picture is just so funny. Oh, my goodness. I think out of the three of us, Jeremy's the only one still on social media, so there's no way to show the world this image.
Darn.
Darn. I'm really sad
that picture won't make it to the internet.
Well, I mean, it can.
Yes, it can. He's like, well played, sir. Oh, that's so good. All right. We'll try to focus. Well, fuck it. Jeremy, if you have any other images, just send them on and we'll get to them throughout the show. It'll be so good. But, all right, we're going to have our best and worst of list for 2017. We're going to talk about Nick Cage and his career, because I think we all love Nick Cage, and he has a new cool movie coming out.
Called American Treasure, Nick Cage.
Yes. Also, maybe a couple bits of news, and we're gonna get some video games and a few other things. But first, I gotta bring up the story to see if y'all are into it. Warner Brothers and Hulu have come to a big deal that Hulu is going to bring back Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain for two new seasons. And Steven Spielberg will be back executive producing. Are y'all in for this at all?
I'm stoked. Count me in.
Yeah.
Works for me.
Good deal, good deal. I am happy about it. It's pretty cool. So I wonder, is it also, I guess, will give them rights to do Tiny Toons and all sorts of shit. But I was a big fan of Animaniacs. I think the reason I remembered or learned the states and capitals was from the Animaniacs song, The States and Capitals. But yeah, fun shit. Pinky and the Brain, Animaniacs are coming back. There you go. I want to bring up a little bit of video game news real quick. So, as you know, we talk a lot about Destiny 2 and Star Wars Battlefront 2, and I might mention Overwatch a little bit here and there. But I've noticed recently Jeremy and his lovely wife, Josie, have been playing Lego Jurassic Park. I am so curious about this. I mean, you've been playing it a lot. What is the deal with Lego Jurassic Park? Is it awesome? Is it cool? Does it take place during the old Jurassic Parks or the new one? What's the deal? And should people buy it?
All right, so here's the deal. It's $10 on Xbox Live. Usually when Lego games come out and they're brand new and they're $60, I'm not down for that. Usually when they kind of get in the $20 price range, I'm all for them. I really enjoy the Lego games. This one has four separate kind of mini Lego games in one, and you have basically a Lego game for each Jurassic Park movie.
Really? So like a mini campaign, basically?
Yep. And you go all through each movie. The nice thing is they stick pretty heavily to the worlds. They don't deviate, you know. The entire world is made of Legos. When they do the first three movies, it's the audio tracks straight from those movies, which, you know, is cool when they do that. And the new movie, they actually added dialogue with Chris Pratt and what's the redheaded actress's name?
Oh, it's not
Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, her. So there's actually some audio tracks. Now, the voiceover stuff is actually really bad because it just kind of has the vibe of they were on the set for the movie and somebody walked over and was like, here, say these things. So, you know, that stuff's not super good, but the game is so much fun.
All right. So it's worth the $10.
Definitely.
In Jurassic Park 2 campaign mode, do you get to go to the U.S. as well as on the island?
Yep.
Oh, shit.
You unlock all the characters from all the movies. Dinosaurs are playable as well too. Once you beat the campaign, a level, you can do what's called free play, where any characters you've unlocked, you can use for things, and you can explore the parks. And so they have puzzles and stuff that require you to have certain dinosaurs. Like there are things that you, in order to unlock, you have to have a T-Rex or you have to have a raptor or, you know, those tiny little, you know, copy dinosaurs. Like you got to have those to crawl through something to unlock something else.
So can you like play as a T-Rex or Velociraptor and go around eating people?
I have not had a T-Rex in a populated area yet that's been playable.
Okay, well you might be able to. That'd be awesome, Jonathan. I know you're a huge fan of Lego stuff. What's your thoughts?
Well, actually, I was telling Jeremy just recently that I played the first Lego game. I'm playing the first Lego game that I've ever really enjoyed currently.
Which one is that?
And it's I got the PlayStation 4 remaster of the Harry Potter Lego games.
Okay.
And my wife and I have been playing that together and having a great time with it. So I had to tell him. I messaged him. I was like, dude, I'm actually really enjoying a Lego game.
Well, fantastic.
To my surprise.
I haven't played a Lego game yet, so I am out on the loop here. But I will say this, on Star Wars Battlefront 2, I have been higher ranked than Jeremy on several matches, which is pretty amazing. I mean, I think he's just getting worse at the game and I'm getting better. I don't know what's
going on. He's just happy because it's the first time in his life he's ever slightly beaten me at anything. And the hilarious thing is we're on the same team, so it's not like you're actually winning.
I'm definitely winning. That's funny. No, yeah, we've been playing that, which has been pretty fun, and been playing a lot of Destiny 2 lately as well. Still the same shit in Destiny 2, but still fun. I've been playing Friday the 13th a little bit recently, and I've had no problems whatsoever getting into a game or playing a game or fucking up. I've been
really
yes, I've
well,
I've shocked my.
That's good news.
It is.
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
I do love that game. It's just I gave up on it like 3 months ago, and I just haven't touched it since.
Yeah, it's been fun because so the last several games has just like easily gotten right in, and you know the chat is really good and easy. But I've noticed like when I've been playing, I've always been the last to survive because I kind of like do my stuff. And then I kind of like camp out somewhere and like wait until Jason finally tries to come get me and I try to escape. So I'm usually the last one. It's awesome.
What does do my stuff mean?
Well, you know, kind of look at camps that sounds, and trees.
Sounds vague.
Well, masturbate, really. But, you know, I digress.
I hide while everyone else dies.
That's true. It's great.
Just like every game.
It is. It's true. You know, just get in the fetal position and just hope for the best.
All your points come fluffing.
But yeah, that's pretty cool. And I'm trying to think of what else I've been playing or not. I guess nothing else. Just those. Oh, I got back into Overwatch a little bit. Fairly tough, but still fun. There's a new character called Moira. And she is a beast of a woman. My goodness. All right. Enough about that. Let's talk about Nick Cage before we get into our best and worst of stuff. I mean, is there anybody who doesn't like Nick Cage out of this group?
No.
No, I love that guy. Like, he's so versatile. And just
insane.
He is insane. He was born in California, and he is, as of today, actually his birthday was yesterday, but he is 54 years old, and he was born into the Coppola clan, you know, Francis Ford Coppola and all that stuff. And he's been married a couple times. One person he's been married to was Patricia Arquette. He also married Lisa Marie Presley. So he's been around, and you know, we don't get much into his personal life, but you know, Nick Cage had a huge collection of like, he was a huge comic book fan. He had like Action Comics number one and all sorts of stuff, but he had to sell everything because he got into financial troubles because he was just buying shit. But his movies are so much fun, so good. And I just love watching him on screen. And I guess, what are some of your favorite films that he's done over the years?
Well, I think my two favorite movies of his. Now, I'll say my top three. Number one is going to be Raising Arizona.
Yep, absolutely.
I'm sure that's going to be a common answer. But number two and number three are going to be National Treasure and The Family Man.
Wow. So a lot of people like National Treasure, but not a lot of people would say The Family Man, but Family Man's a damn good movie.
I love that movie. I think that's one of my favorite. You know, I forgot to mention it. We were talking about Christmas movies just recently, but it's a great Christmas movie, and everyone in that movie is fantastic. It's just a really fun movie, and it's got soul. I like it.
Good, 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 good. So, Jeremy, what about yours?
Let's see. For me, I do love National Treasure. It was funny because I bought those movies for Josie for Christmas, and I prefer to just buy things in person as opposed to on the interwebs. But let me tell you, no one has those fucking movies, like, anywhere. And I was like, I'm just going to go on a whim into this movie trading company. And it was like, hey, do you guys have National Treasure? And it was just this response of like, why the fuck do you want that?
Yeah, why?
Yeah, because it's awesome.
Navy SEALs.
You know, but yeah, like Family Man's a great one, but you know, he had a kind of stretch of movies, kind of about four or five movies that I loved. It was like in that time period where you had like Matchstick Men and Lord of War and like, I want to say Adaptation was probably like somewhere in there, but he just had this kind of like stretch of about four movies that, man, I just loved the crap out of every single one of them.
I totally agree. Matchstick Men has one of my favorite scenes ever in a movie, and that's when Nick Cage's character freaks out in the pharmacy. Has like his epic meltdown, and it's so good. But he played a great. All those movies you mentioned are excellent. Yeah, so he's like had like very interesting waves of movies. Like he did like The Rock, Con Air, Face Off, and Snake Eyes, and that was like there's all like 90s
action movies.
Yeah, just ridiculous. But then you like you said he had like these Oscar winning roles that were excellent, like Adaptation and Matchstick Men. All really good.
And he won now, for was it what was it
Leaving Las Vegas.
Yes. Yeah.
Out of his 90s action movies, which is your favorite, you guys?
Okay, so 90s action. So that so he has Wild at Heart, Free Birds, Honeymoon in Vegas, Amos and Andrew, which was Nick Cage and Sam Jackson.
That movie was so funny.
You have Kiss of Death. You have Leaving Las Vegas, The Rock, Con Air, Face Off, City of Angels, Snake Eyes, 8mm, and Bringing Out the Dead. So,
but of the action movies, which is your favorite? Like The Rock, Con Air, Face Off,
The Rock,
Snake Eyes.
The Rock, for sure, The Rock.
I concur.
Yep, The Rock's left. Sure. I'm going to say Face Off.
Face Off, Caster yep. Troy, Sean Archer.
I love that movie.
Oh, that
I movie. Love The Rock too.
The Rock
and I love Con Air. I love all of them. Who am I kidding?
Who am I kidding? I like them all. But dude, Amos and Andrew from 1993, with Nicolas Cage and Sam Jackson. Oh my god, that was such a fun movie, wasn't it? Just love. I mean, who doesn't like that movie? And then his Leaving Las Vegas movie is not to be confused with his other Las Vegas movie, which was with what's her name from
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yes,
and James Caan.
Yes, when he skydived out of a plane
wearing the Elvis suit.
Yes, not to be confused with that. But yeah, Raising Arizona might be still his best. It's so good. And then, you know, when he had financial problems, he was doing crazy movies like why is he doing this? And let's not forget, he's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Basically, he's Ghost Rider.
Did Marvel make the Ghost Rider movies, though?
No, they did not. However,
he's not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, my friend.
Oh, he's a Marvel. That's a Marvel man.
No, that because you wouldn't say that the current X-Men movies are part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because they're definitely not.
Well, in 2000,
way to try to slide that completely incorrect information in there.
Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance was made in 2011. That was definitely after Marvel started making movies.
But it wasn't made by Marvel Studios.
No, but they had a hand in it.
Was it made by Fox or something? Or who made that movie?
Oh, let me go look. I don't remember.
We're going to make you get your fake news straight, my friend.
Fake news! Shit. It's not part of, like, Marvel didn't make it, but that's part of the universe. It's Marvel Heroes, right?
He was a Marvel hero in a movie.
And not to mention, he was one of the coolest kind of superheroes in Kick-Ass as Big Daddy.
That's true. Yeah, we cannot forget him as Big Daddy in Kick-Ass, because that was one of his best roles.
He was so good in it. He also did, you know, those movies like Bangkok Dangerous, Drive Angry, Season of the Witch, The Sorcerer's Apprentice. Those were like his movies, like, I just have to do this to get a paycheck to pay some bills. Which was fine, but he's like had so many like different waves of stuff.
Wasn't he like a battleship commander in some movie too?
Port of New Orleans, Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans, I believe. Damn good. And then in the midst of those movies, he did a really cool movie called Joe, J-O-E, just Joe. And damn, that movie is good. That is a hardcore like. Real fucked up movie, but he is so good in it. He's the main guy, and highly recommended. Look on Netflix for Joe, starring him. And then recently, he's just been doing kind of like straight to home video movies, like The Trust, Dog Eat Dog, USS Indianapolis, Men of Courage, Vengeance, and Inconceivable. All, I mean, he's good in these movies, but, you know, they're not great. But there's a new movie that's coming out this year, actually this month. It is called Mom and Dad, and it stars Nick Cage and Selma Blair. And the synopsis of this movie is a teenage girl and her little brother must survive a wild 24 hours during which a mass hysteria of unknown origins causes parents to turn violently on their own kids. So we're going to get to see like Nick Cage do some horrific shit. And supposedly this is like going to be like insanely crazy rated R.
Well, that sounds interesting.
That sounds so good.
When is that coming out?
Release date of January 19th, but I don't know if that's actually wide or if that's New York and LA.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it's a hard R. And it's, people are saying like it is hilarious, like a very dark comedy. One critic who saw it earlier at a film festival said it's a twisted remake of Home Alone on bath salts.
Interesting.
So Nick Cage trying to kill his kids. I am all in. And you know what? Nick Cage just seems like a fun dude, you know? Like, he's into comics. He loves the music. I mean, I just think, like, we would get along with him. What do you think?
I have no idea. I think it'd be interesting.
You think it would be interesting?
He seems like a fun guy, but I don't know. I mean, he's also an actor, and sometimes they can not be the nicest people.
He tends to go to comic book conventions, and he actually walks the floor with his kids.
Yes.
Does he do that in costume like so many celebrities do, or does he just go
wearing
as Nicolas Cage
costume?
He's wearing a Nicolas Cage costume.
So an Elvis suit?
Yes, an Elvis. That would be
He's wearing his Nick Cage skin suit.
Oh my goodness.
Or the John Travolta face.
And interestingly enough, Nick Cage has only directed one movie, and that movie was in 2002, and it was called Sonny. And it starred James Franco and Mina Suvari. Very interesting. So only one movie he's ever directed. I wonder why he didn't go back out and do it. But, yeah.
Maybe it was not a good movie. Did anyone see that?
I didn't see it. But
maybe it was a train wreck. He's just like, yeah, not doing that again.
Who knows? And interestingly enough, remember that movie The Life of David Gale with Kevin Spacey?
Nope.
Excellent film about inmates being on death row. Nick Cage was a producer on that movie. That was a great movie. But interestingly enough, he also produced Shadow of the Vampire as well. Very cool. He's a good guy. Now, I'm curious on you two, because I've seen National Treasure 1 and 2, and they're okay movies. Or just okay, but what do y'all really like about them?
Well, so Jeremy and I are both humongous Indiana Jones fans. And to me, National Treasure is one of the things that has been closest to an Indiana Jones movie that we've gotten in quite a long time. I just love that treasure hunting, you know, kind of anti-hero to a certain extent, who's got a sense of humor about himself and looking for ancient relics. It's somewhere between like Indiana Jones and a little bit of like The Da Vinci Code, which is another, like, I love all those Dan Brown books. So it just works for my personal preferences.
Interesting. What about you, Jeremy?
You know, to me, it's the same. It's a lot of the same stuff that John said. You know, I find, you know, the character that he plays in there is this kind of interesting mixture of, you know, like he's not. He doesn't run around fist fighting and knocking guys out in the same way that Indiana Jones does, but he kind of almost has this like kind of like awkward, you know, humor to him. Like he's really smart, you know, but he also is just this like kind of like awkward charm to the character that I think Nicolas Cage does really well in those movies.
All right.
And everybody that's in those, they're always, you know, a lot of good chemistry. Like the, you know, he's really good with the actor that plays Riley.
Is that the guy from...
He's kind of comedic sidekick in that movie.
Okay, that's not the guy from The Hangover, is it?
I think it is.
Okay. All right.
And then don't forget that Boromir is also the villain in the first movie.
Yeah, the first one.
Boromir.
Or what was the guy? What was his name in GoldenEye?
Oh, shit.
Alex Trevelyan.
Alex
Trevelyan. 006.
Wow. Well, he was also Ned Stark. Come on now.
Well, of course.
Boromir died by...
We're going deep cuts here, Kluger.
Deep... Okay. All right. All right. We'll do deep cuts. I'm looking at Nick
Anybody could pull Ned Stark.
Not everyone can pull out Trevelyan.
Yeah.
True. I'm looking at...
I only know that from playing the game, by the way. It's not from watching the movie a million times. It's from playing the game a million times.
There you go. I'm looking at his resume, and do you remember his character name in Con Air?
Nicolas Cage?
Yeah.
No. Can you give us a clue?
Well, it sounds like Poe Dameron.
No, I have no idea.
Cameron Poe.
Cameron Poe?
Yeah, Cameron Poe. Maybe okay. Distant relative to Poe Dameron. No?
All right.
Maybe? Thought y'all would get excited about that. I guess not. You have black souls. Well,
Cameron does rhyme with Dameron. Maybe they are related.
And Poe. Their names rhyme. And Poe.
Even though one is a first name and one is a last name.
Hey.
And they just rhyme.
Boy, isn't this just a great segue into... into speaking of fucking harebrained theories.
Okay, harebrained theories. Now. So since we're talking about Star Wars now, we're just going to fucking get into the Star Wars Last Jedi shit. I've seen Star Wars Last Jedi 3 times. 2 of those times has been with Jeremiah Meegert. The other time was not, but I've seen it 3 times and I've noticed things all 3 times. And, would y'all agree every time y'all have seen Last Jedi, does it get better? Like I love it even more every time I see it.
I would disagree. I loved it. I've only seen it twice. I loved it the second time and I was able to kind of pay more attention, but it's not going to compare to the excitement of the first time that I watched it.
You're weird. Jeremy, what about you?
I don't know if I as a whole enjoyed it more, but there were things that I picked up on that I enjoyed, like kind of sections that I enjoyed a little more each time that I saw it.
Okay. So I have a theory, and Jeremy and maybe John, I don't know, think this is what they say. What do you say when I say this? This is the what theory?
This is the flat earth of Star Wars theories.
Now... This is bullshit because
this might be worse than the Mace Windu theory that he had about Snoke.
Here's what makes this extra terrible. And I'm prefacing this because he hasn't even said it yet. The Snoke thing, you know, he was trolling, but he got that on the internet. He didn't come up with that on his own. The terrifying thing about this is his own idea.
It is my own idea. Dude, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I tell you.
I'm telling you, you're going to die on this hill alone.
Okay. We'll see.
Alone.
No. All right. Let's try this. Okay. So my theory, if you've seen The Last Jedi, there is a scene where Finn and Rose have to get into one of the dreadnoughts, like the main ships for the bad guys, to basically disable something on the ship so that people can survive. So in order to do that, they don't know how to do that, but they call Maz Kanata from...
Kanata.
Is it... What?
She's
what?
Not a sword.
Is it Maz Kanata, not Maz Kanata?
Not Katana, dude. She's not a sword.
All right. So Maz from the first film, you know.
You're off to a great start.
I am. The you know, like the alien creature with like the big goggles, you know, that sees Han Solo, Chewbacca's her boyfriend, whatever. So when she's talking, she's like fighting some diplomats, some diplomatic stuff. She tells these people to find a codebreaker, and how she describes the codebreaker is completely Lando Calrissian. Like, when she's describing him, she gets, like, all weak in the knees and, like, oh, he's a smooth talker. And, like, ooh, you can find him at a high-stakes table at a casino on this planet. So, we're like, holy shit, Lando's going to make an appearance. And, of course, he doesn't. But, when Finn and Rose get to the casino, you know, you're just like, okay, where's Lando? Where's Lando? And you don't see him. But then you see an actor who's a famous actor named Justin Theroux, who's literally just in the movie for no apparent reason at all. But, I forgot to mention
one thing. Fans will know him as playing as one of the bad guys in Charlie's Angels.
Yes, that's true. No, I forgot to mention one thing. Maz does say you'll recognize this guy, this codebreaker, with the red lapel on his suit jacket. Holy shit, that is Lando. Okay, so we're at the casino, and Justin Theroux shows up. He's at a high-stakes table, and he has a white suit jacket on with the red lapel. And he doesn't really say much, but he's gambling. But there's nothing else to it. Like, that's all you see. He might be on screen for maybe 10 seconds or less. And then, you know, we get the Benicio del Toro character, which at first I might have thought was Lando, but it wasn't. I don't think that anymore. But I do think this Justin Theroux character is Lando in disguise. Because in Return of the Jedi, Lando is in disguise. He is disguised until he, you know, Luke shows up and they form a plan to kill Jabba the Hutt. So I think this guy, many years after Jedi, new technologies come to light, new shit's come to light, and Lando is disguised as just Justin Theroux character. Yes, indeed, that is my theory. I think we saw Lando in that role. He wasn't in the movie because they couldn't get him for some reason, but I think he'll show up in the next role. And I think it will be Justin Theroux, and like something will happen and the disguise will come off and it'll be Lando. I don't think that's a flat earth theory at all. I think that's pretty, like, given the circumstances and what was said in the movie, I think that's pretty solid.
I think you're completely leaping from a description that Maz gave that could fit Lando, because I had to talk you out of the fact that Lando was Benicio del Toro. Like, that was like 2 weeks of me trying to be like, no, there's no fucking way. And you're like, no, his mannerisms and everything.
There was mannerisms. There was. But I'm just saying,
the Benicio del Toro portion of your theory is worse, but both are still bad.
You were also saying that the reason Benicio del Toro was stuttering was because it was the Lando costume malfunctioning.
Yes.
And because Lando just has had some kind of problem with his mask, and that's why he was stuttering.
Hurts me just hearing that.
It's possible. It makes sense.
Do you want us to begin to pick apart your theory?
Yes, yes, bitches, yes. Right. Because you're all wrong, right, and I'm right.
All right, first thing that I want to point out. You say that Maz is describing Lando because of X, Y, and Z that she says when she's talking about this character. First problem is that Lando is never known as being a slicer, a code breaker. He's, now, granted, he could have that skill. We don't know.
It's been like over 30 years.
That's making a big jump. That's making a big jump based on zero information. That is what we like to call assumption. And there's just nothing to go off of that with. He's not known. And it's like the people that said that Rey was Obi-Wan's daughter because she has a British accent. Meaning that the only person that could be her parent was Obi-Wan because he had a British accent. But there are so many people, there's galaxies filled with people that are gamblers and code breakers and all of these things. And the fact that she's definitely, according to your theory, talking about Lando because she mentions these things is a little outlandish.
What? It's not outlandish.
It's taking a big jump, my friend.
It's not taking a big jump. That's like, oh, shit, that's Lando.
Now, look here. Second point that I want to make is that the character, I believe, was Talon Card. Because if you look at descriptions of Talon Card based on, or is the character inspired by that? There's at least some kind of a nod to that character because he looks and does exactly those things. Talon Card, that also description works perfectly for that character, who was a creation in the Timothy Zahn books, Heir to the Empire and all of those. But, and he looks just like that guy. So to me, that's who that was. At least that's who they were kind of making a nod towards. I have a feeling we're not going to see anything more of that character.
Why?
Because they just, that whole movie was about them fucking with our expectations. That was what their, the bit of that movie was, is here's one thing we're going to make you think is going to happen. Now we're going to do something else. It started off with Luke throwing the lightsaber behind his head because they wanted to just fly in the face of everything people expected. So I don't think that, I think that that's what the gimmick of that movie was.
Definitely not Talon Card by any means. No way.
No. And secondly, do you really, really think that Disney's going to make a movie where a black guy is dressed up in a white guy costume?
Yes.
Not, I don't.
No. Not when you look at the lengths at which they're going to add diversity to Star Wars. There's no way they're going to do that.
That there's just no way.
They're not going to be like, this is a black guy in a white guy suit.
Yeah, it's just not going to happen.
I know. See, like, I said it out loud, and he laughed, and that's how fucking silly that shit is.
I don't know. I don't know. I think my reasoning, my theory is pretty solid.
No.
It's not.
There's opposite of solid, man.
There's no evidence. There's nothing to. There's not even a tangent.
What are you talking about? Who's with me here? How are you not with this? Come on now. Come on.
Now, we want Lando to be in the next movie. We really do. But that's not how they're going to do it, man. They're not going to be like, hey, remember that white dude in the last movie? That was actually Lando.
Well, why would they?
Actually this really older black guy.
Why would you think Justin Theroux is just in a throwaway role?
Because he's just Justin Theroux.
Because
it's not like he's like a major actor. He's just some guy that's been on a couple TV shows and B parts.
What are you talking about?
In your first movie, you had Simon Pegg and Daniel Craig in the Force Awakens.
Yes, you did.
So what's the difference between those and this?
Those guys are actually big movie stars, and this guy isn't.
I don't know. Well, you don't know it's Daniel Craig at all until the credits. And you're like, oh, shit, he was on set for, you know, half a day, and they just put him in a stormtrooper outfit. And then with Simon Pegg, he's heavily in makeup, and you don't know it's him until the credits either. But he was a pretty big part of Force Awakens. And then you have just Justin Theroux, like an actor who's in big movies. He's been all over the place. Who's just
I'll tell you why they put Justin Theroux in there. They put Justin Theroux in there purely as a smokescreen. People are going to looking at IMDb going, who's playing who? Who's going to be a Jedi? Who's going to be this? Who's Benicio del Toro going to be? I remember seeing that he was going to be a Jedi or something like that. And I'm sure they like just putting big actors in there just to fuck with people's expectations. So you go, oh, wow, this guy's going to be a big role. And he's in there for 3 seconds.
I mean, it could have just been that he's friends with, you know,
Ryan Johnson
or somebody was like, put me in. I mean, like, cause that, you know, how did Daniel Craig get in that movie? You know, like, even wearing stormtrooper armor with no discernible part, you know, with a part of equal significance, honestly, to Justin Theroux's part, you know, it's like, how did Daniel Craig get in there? It's
because they were filming.
Nobody's calling Daniel Craig being like, hey, here's some Bond money. Go put on this stormtrooper outfit.
Well, I'm sure what happened was that, like, Daniel Craig is a huge fan of Star Wars, and he was in the same location at the right time to film this scene while he was filming something else. And they're like, oh, Daniel Craig, we're just going to put you in a...
I think you should apply that same logic to Justin Theroux.
No freaking way. I mean, what you're saying is possible, but I do believe I am right Probable. On this one. We'll see. Time will tell. Time will tell. And oh my God,
I can't believe you've got to sit here and wait fucking 2 years of this bullshit before we.
We had to tolerate 2 years of the Snoke Mace Windu theory. And we just finished with that. And now we have to listen to this crap for 2 years.
But was it 2 years? I mean, it feels like dog years. I mean, it feels like longer than that. But I'm trying to actually look at it. Like, was it 2 years?
Maybe a year and a half. I think it was at least a year. I'd say it's probably maybe 6 months or so after Force Awakens came out.
Year and a half. Okay.
Just saying. I'm just saying. When we see the movie, you're going to be like, holy shit, Brian was right. Right, no. Right.
That's what you said about Mace Windu.
Oh my God. Well, none of us were right on that fucking theory.
No, John and I were right. He definitely was not Mace Windu.
Yep. We were correct.
Well, on the whole Snoke thing, we thought, it was no.
I just thought he was Snoke.
All right.
And he was Snoke.
Well, still, Lando, I'm sticking to it until I believe otherwise.
But that's okay. That's why it's a flat Earth theory, because the people that believe the flat Earth theory are just going to believe it no matter how much evidence you give them to the contrary. There's no science to prove the flat Earth theory, but they're going to fucking believe it.
There's no evidence to support your rebuttal. There's evidence to prove mine.
No, there's not. There's conjecture. Do you know the difference between evidence and conjecture?
It's all hearsay. I'm just saying. Y'all wear me out. That's what I'm saying. Okay. All right. Enough of this Star Wars business. You people. What do you mean, you people? Okay. We've got a few movies going to be releasing this month that we should kind of talk about if anybody is excited to see. Do y'all usually like movies to start the year out? Like, do you think movies are generally terrible, you know, in January and February?
Honestly, I don't really have an opinion about that.
Not at all.
I feel like there's good movies that come out throughout the year.
Yeah. We got Deadpool last Valentine's Day.
True. They're getting better. But movies that are coming out this weekend, that you have Paddington 2, which is the Paddington Bear sequel, which the first Paddington was actually excellent. That I think actually has either a 99% or 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And you also have The Commuter with Liam Neeson, who basically looks like Taken on a train. This is kind of like getting into Nick Cage territory, really. Liam Neeson's still doing these movies, and it doesn't look like he's going to stop, even though every interview he's like, I'm stopping these movies. He just can't. What do y'all think?
I don't love the Liam Neeson action movies. I'm a huge Liam Neeson fan that does not particularly enjoy the new action movies.
All right. I mean, they're okay. I've seen most of them. They're all mostly PG-13. I think one of his best one was The Gray. And I mean, Taken's good for what it was back then, but now it's all the same shit. And Commuter, it looks like Taken on a train. Like, I just can't tell any of them apart. But all right, so there's that. You also have a movie called Proud Mary, which looks like Atomic Blonde, but with a black actress, Taraji B. Henson. That's coming out this month. You also have Acts of Violence with Bruce Willis. You have Den of Thieves with Jesus Christ, Gerard Butler, and 50 Cent. Oh, God. Christ. You have the Mom and Dad movie, which we talked about, which was with Nick Cage. You have The Maze Runner, The Death Cure, which is Maze Runner 3. Out of all the young adult movies, I don't like any of them minus these Maze Runner movies. Maze Runner was supposed to come out like a year ago, but the main actor, Dylan O'Brien, got into a pretty big accident on set during a stunt, and they pretty much delayed everything.
Yeah, he had like a serious brain injury, I think.
Yeah, like I think it smashed his face up and all sorts of shit. So, but that's coming.
Those Maze Runner movies are surprisingly fun.
Yeah, they really are. So this is the third one and final one, I guess. So I'll definitely be seeing that towards the end of the month. Also, if you are into the kickboxer movies, another kickboxer movie. Yes, Kickboxer with Jean-Claude Van Damme. Kickboxer Retaliation. I saw and reviewed the last Kickboxer movie, which came out a year ago. It's just fucking terrible. Well, now there's a new one, and it stars, well, kind of stars Jean-Claude Van Damme. And the last one, he was in it for like 10 minutes. I'm sure he'll be in it less. But Mike Tyson's in this new one, as well as the guy who played like that giant dude in Game of Thrones. Oh, what's his name? Who's the giant?
The guy that played the Mountain?
Yes, the Mountain. Yes, him.
Hathor Bjornsson?
Yes. He is in it as well. So, yeah, those movies come out in January. Not great, but also maybe not too terrible. But, yes, that's what comes out in January. Well,
hey, man, if you want some Van Damme action, you need to watch JCVJ.
That's the new TV series on Amazon, right?
Yep, and it was fantastic.
There you go. There you go. So if you if you're not looking forward to that, you check that out. If not, wait till February, and we'll get a Black Panther Marvel movie. So we'll have that to look forward
to. Which looks fun.
It does look fun. Hopefully it's good. They haven't really made a huge bad Marvel movie yet, minus maybe Iron Man 2. But,
and Thor 2.
Oh, well, Thor 2.
Iron Man 2 I liked. Thor 2 was awful, in my opinion.
Yeah, well. Yeah, Thor to the Dark World. Not great.
To me, though, the issue with Thor was more just like the gigantic, you know, kind of plot holes that were in it.
It was just like a super boring movie, I felt.
Yeah. It was always like, well, it's like, why? So Jane just coincidentally happens to find the ether. You know, there was never like... There was never, like, a reason for things to kind of be, like, where they were and what was going on. Like, nothing was ever kind of explained. It was just kind of happening.
Yeah.
So, that was, like, my big... But for me, it's like with the Marvel movies, if that's as bad as it's going to get, I'm totally cool.
Yeah, no, they're not terrible movies. They're just not... Out of all, like, the good Marvel stuff, they're probably the least favorite. So, they're watchable for sure, but, yeah, I get it. All right. Enough of movie news. I'll move on real quickly to some home video stuff. Recently, the 4K collection of all Christopher Nolan movies came out. I've seen them. I've reviewed them. Most of them look amazing. Inception might be not as good as it was on Blu-ray, visually speaking. But everything else, like The Dark Knight now, looks fucking insanely good. So does Batman Begins and Dark Knight Rises. Very, very, very good stuff. Dunkirk looks great and sounds amazing. Also, I want to bring up, did any of y'all watch Batman the Brave and the Bold?
Nope.
No?
I watched like the old series with Diedrich Bader.
Yes.
Yeah, a little bit of it.
Okay, so that hasn't been on the air. That was only on for 3 seasons. It was actually pretty good and well-received cartoon. It ended in 2011, and they haven't been back since, until now, where Scooby-Doo and Batman the Brave and the Bold do a mix it up in a movie, and it's actually surprisingly really good. Diedrich Bader returns as Batman, tons of great voice cast, and it's actually really fun, and they make Aquaman like the silly, over-the-top, ridiculous comic relief in the movie, which is really good, and they like bring a lot of like good vintage Scooby-Doo stuff to it. I was impressed. So, if you see that on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime, definitely give that a look, because I think you will enjoy what they do with the DC Universe and Scooby-Doo. And it seems to mix well. I actually enjoyed it. I didn't think I would.
That's pretty cool. They've been doing a lot of stuff with DC Comics has been publishing a lot of like the Hanna-Barbera stuff in comic form.
Yeah.
And they recently did some crossovers that worked really well and were really popular. Like it was like Space Ghost with Green Lantern. And they did the most popular book, and this is going to sound really stupid, but it's like, is Batman versus Elmer Fudd. But it was really popular, and like the team that they got to work on it, like, took it super seriously. And Elmer Fudd is like a hunter, and it's like Batman, like super, super early Batman. And like Elmer Fudd and Batman are like both in love with like Silver St. Cloud. And so they're basically like fighting over this girl. But like Elmer Fudd is like, instead of being this like slapsticky character, I mean, he has like the lisp, but he's like basically like a super serious, like big game hunter.
Dude, that's awesome. Like,
and the book was super popular, and it went through like four printings.
That's super cool. No, that's because I said something similar in my review. It's like, on paper, this Scooby-Doo and Batman shit just doesn't seem right, but it's executed so well. And like, they take it seriously, but there's like some good dry humor throughout. And basically, I guess the Scooby and the gang are like solving like, you know, one of their haunting cases, and then Batman shows up and asks them to kind of like be part of their detective analyst team, and the Crimson Cloak shows up, but then like resurrects all of the like vintage Batman villains, and it's really cool.
That's the direction they need to go in for the live DC Universe movies. Just have James Gunn do another Scooby-Doo movie and just make it a Scooby-Doo Batman movie.
I'm in. Dude, judging by this, it was good. And just, goddamn, Aquaman.
On the original
was so
Scooby-Doo
funny.
Cartoons, Batman and Robin, I think, had a handful of guest appearances.
No, yeah, absolutely. Because it's been a long time since Scooby-Doo and like the Batman have been together, but they have done it before, but it was a long time ago. But it was good. It was like I was impressed. I recommended it. So give that a chance. And now I'm gonna fucking have to look up this Elmer Fudd Batman shit. Oh my god, it would have been better than Martha to have Elmer Fudd and like Batman going at it. Holy shit, that's cool. I'm in. I'm all the way in. Okay. Enough stuff about that. Let's get to our best and worst lists of all the shit we did in 2017. Who wants to go first?
Why don't you steer the ship, my friend?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. So I made a list right after Christmas on boomstickcomics.com. It's also where you can catch our Mediocrity podcast as well as iTunes. I made a list. Not a list, like it's not my top, but these are my favorite movies that I think you should watch in 2017. Get Out is up there. The Big Sick, Baby Driver, The Last Jedi. One movie that you might have heard of, but is on Netflix, it's called The Transfiguration. It's like the HBO's The Wire meets vampires. It's excellent. The Shape of Water, fantastic. Split, M. Night Shyamalan's on a roll, baby. Dan Dream, this is a Danish movie about making the first electric car, and it's hilarious. It's Little Miss Sunshine meets like a rated R gross humor. It's really good. War for the Planet of the Apes. Holy shit. I've rewatched this so many times, and holy shit, War for the Planet of the Apes is fantastic. Every time. Logan. Holy shit. We got a Wolverine movie that we've always wanted since 2000, 17 years in the making. We got Logan. Perfect in every way. Killing of a Sacred Deer from the guy who made The Lobster.
Was Logan 2017?
Yes, it was.
Oh.
Killing of a Sacred Deer, directed by the guy who did The Lobster. This is Stanley Kubrick's sibling to Eyes Wide Shut. Excellent movie. Another movie I really loved, French film called Raw, was released this year. And coming of age story about two sisters who go to college and cannibalism. Colossal from Nacho Vigalondo, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Fantastic. I loved and hated equally the movie Mother by Darren Aronofsky. T2 Trainspotting 2. Oh my God, what a fantastic sequel. And Dunkirk by Christopher Nolan. Those were my favorite films. TV shows, I would probably have to go with the second season of Stranger Things. I would have to go with Curb Your Enthusiasm. I would have to go with that new Atypical, the autism show on Netflix, which was excellent, and The Marvelous Miss Maisel on Amazon as well. That was a fantastic new show as well. And then favorite video games? Shit. I guess the really one only ones I play, Destiny 2 and what's it called? Star Wars Battlefront 2. Were my favorites. Those are my favorites for the year. What about you guys?
Jeremy, would you like to go next?
Oh, I'll go. So I kind of split it up a little bit differently instead of just doing a bunch of movies and kind of splitting up with TV shows and stuff. I think my best, so I'm just kind of go with the kind of just streaming service originals. That's the stuff I've been enjoying the most, like on Hulu. I loved Future Man. I'm working my way through the second season of Shut-Eye, and those are great. You know, I just watched JCVJ on Amazon, and that show was absolutely hilarious. I mean, it's just basically Jean-Claude Van Damme fully, totally making fun of himself, and he does an awesome job. You know, and then the same thing, like Netflix, you had Bright, you know, like Stranger Things. You know, I just watched, finished the documentary of The Toys That Made Us. And, you know, it's almost everything that I'm kind of watching in general. Nothing is really your kind of normal TV shows. Almost the only TV show I can think of that I watch on a regular basis is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Outside of that, everything I'm kind of consuming of that is all just, you know, streaming service originals. And those have been my favorites. comic-wise, I think my favorite book has been a story called Batman White Knight by Sean Gordon Murphy. And in this book, Batman has kind of become unhinged, and Alfred is sick and dying, and so Batman's kind of losing his mind. And in the book, the way that Sean Gordon Murphy writes it, because he writes it and draws it, is that Alfred is sort of Batman's tether that kind of, I don't want to say keeps him, like, on a leash, but, like, you know, kind of keeps him from going to the extremes. And when something happens to Alfred, it basically, he just kind of like goes nuts. And in the first issue, he's chasing the Joker and they're destroying all this stuff. And he corners Joker in a warehouse that's a medical warehouse, crams a bunch of pills down his throat. And Joker comes out of it and is actually recovered and is, you know, quote unquote, kind of sane. And so now what he's having to deal with is a Joker who actually goes by the name Jack Napier, which is super cool. And the Joker in this book is medicated, super intelligent, and not the Joker that you're used to. And so what he reveals to the world is that a couple things. One is that there's actually a Batman Devastation Fund where Gotham is spending $3 billion a year to basically pay for everything that Batman destroys and blows up while he's fighting crime. So instead of like spending that $3 billion on stuff, it's kind of like hidden as this, like in case of like earthquakes and hurricanes, but Gotham never has any of that. But it's a really, really great take where it kind of flips a little bit of the Batman and Joker thing on its head and really does something different and super cool. Other comic that I've been enjoying is Invincible, and that's the Robert Kirkman, Ryan Otley book. That's wrapping up. It's got one issue left, and it's making me super sad. There's not a lot of kind of long-form comics that have a big running history with the same creative team, and these guys are going to end it on, like, issue 144, 145, something like that. And I think we're going to get a movie produced by Seth Rogen and and his people.
Evan Goldberg.
Yep. Other best stuff for me, I'm going to give it to Star Wars in general for both The Last Jedi and Battlefront 2 because, holy crap, I enjoyed the shit out of both of those, and it's been a really long time since we have had an amazing Star Wars game to enjoy. And the last thing for me is the MCU, for each of their movies, they release art books, and I got a couple of them this year. I got one for Thor Ragnarok, and I got another one for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and those art books are amazing. Like, those books are, like, just world-building 101 for anybody interested in, like, the kind of visual aspects of, like, how to build a world for movies or, honestly, even for comic books, because the color palettes are great. You see tons of variations on character design. Those books are just fantastic. So
awesome.
That is my best of for this year.
That's good shit. All right, Mr. Atterbury, 2017.
All right. Excuse me. My favorite things of 2017. Last Jedi, obviously. As far as movies go, we've got Last Jedi, Get Out. I tried to keep this list pretty short. Dunkirk and Bright, the Netflix original.
Didn't see that coming at all.
Did you see Bright?
I did see Bright.
Did you like it a lot?
It's okay.
I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I thought it was a really fun genre bend, and just I enjoyed the shit out of that.
I did too.
TV shows, gotta say, Master of None season 2 may have been my favorite thing I watched on TV all year long.
Oh, that was a great season. I don't know why. So, interestingly enough, Aziz Ansari won a Golden Globe for his role in the second season, but I would have rather seen it win, like, maybe best TV show, but, like, best actor. That's weird to me. I feel like
it's I get it. I thought the acting, everything about that show is perfect. I was totally blown away. I wasn't expecting to love that as much as I was. But so that Game of Thrones had a great season this year.
Yes,
I really
did.
Enjoyed that.
Yeah,
Stranger Things season 2 and Mindhunter on Netflix.
I still need to see that.
Mindhunter is so funny.
I liked Mindhunter a lot. Video games. I think this has been a pretty weak year for video games. Battlefront 2, though, is probably my favorite game that I've been playing in years. I'd say I enjoy Battlefront 2 more than I have any other video game in quite a long time. And then second up to that is Call of Duty World War II. I think it's a fantastic kind of return to form for the franchise. Been really enjoying that. And just as a kind of thing to tack on there, my favorite book that came out this year was Dan Brown's Origin, and I loved that book.
Oh, Dan Brown's Origin. I have a book that I like. I'm checking to see if it came out this year, and I think it did. Here we go. I'm looking real quickly. Did that come out this year? No, it didn't. It came out in 2016. Never mind then. Still love it. Trying to think of what else is going on. Oh, I guess, is there a worst of? I didn't really make a worst of list, but I guess the worst two movies I saw this year were Chips and Rings. Both terrible. The Ring sequel horror movie and Chips, the remake with Dax Shepard and Michael Peña. Fucking awful movies. Just did not like those. TV show, I watched SMILF, S-M-I-L-F, Single Mom I'd Like to Fuck on Showtime. Not really that good. It just doesn't make any sense. Maybe those are my worst ofs. Any worst ofs for y'all?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I try to delete that stuff like immediately.
Yeah.
So it's not taking up space in my brain.
Yeah, I get it. Jeremy, anything for you?
Nothing for me really in that. I mean, I didn't love in the end Mass Effect Andromeda. That was a little disappointing, but
no, that's a good point. I think that was probably the most disappointing game of the year.
Yeah.
Because we wanted it to, it could have been so good.
Yeah. I bought it thinking, I'm like, man, I'm going to play this over and over and over again. And I didn't even start a second playthrough.
I didn't even finish my first.
Well, damn. So, all right. All right. Well, that is our Mediocrity first episode of 2018. I think it was a fun episode. We will be back every week. Until the end of the year, where we will talk about our favorites of 2018. I can't believe it's 2018, guys. And I want to thank Jonathan Atterbury and Jeremy Magert. I think you can find Jeremy Magert online. Where can they find you?
On the Instagrams and the Twitters. Sweet. Mostly on Instagram.
All right, Jeremy Magert Art still?
Yep, that's the one.
And I think you can find Jonathan Atterbury by calling 911. No, are you back online, John? Are you
no,
still? You're
I'm
off.
Not.
You're off. Me too.
I'm off the grid.
Me too. I'm off the grid. So
and I've been loving it too. It's been really nice.
It has been. It has been. It has been good. And hopefully, last year. Sometime in December, I sent our podcast and forms in for our podcast to get on Spotify. I doubt it's going to happen. I seriously doubt it's going to happen because it looks like the only podcasts they accept are like huge, gigantic corporate podcasts that, you know, are by Disney or Warner Brothers or whatever, you know? So I don't think we're going to get on, but there's a chance, one in a million. So you're telling me there's a chance. Look forward to us hopefully sometime this year getting on some other formats, other than Stitcher Radio and iTunes. We'll try to get something else on there, but if we get on Spotify, holy shit, that'll be awesome. But Mediocrity, find us, love us, smell us. We love you.